And today we are in Genesis 48 and 49, the blessings. Jacob passes on the blessings to his sons, Joseph's sons and his other sons. It came to pass after these things that Joseph was told, indeed your father is sick. And he took with him his two sons, Manasseh and Ephraim. And Jacob was told, look, your son Joseph is coming to you. And Israel strengthened himself and sat up on the bed. Then Jacob said to Joseph, God Almighty appeared to me at Luz in the land of Canaan and blessed me. And said to me, behold, I'll make you fruitful and multiply you. I'll make of you a multitude of people and give this land to your descendants after you as an everlasting possession. And now your two sons, Ephraim and Manasseh, who were born to you in the land of Egypt before I came to you in Egypt, are mine. As Reuben and Simeon, they shall be mine. Your offspring, whom you beget after them, shall be yours. They will be called by the name of their brothers in their inheritance. But as for me, when I came to Paddan Aram, Rachel died beside me in the land of Canaan. On the way, when there was just a little distance to Ephrathah, and I buried her there on the way to Ephrathah, that is Bethlehem. I'm told Rachel's tomb is actually still there as a historical site in Bethlehem. Then Israel saw Joseph's sons and said, who are these? Joseph said to his father, they are my sons whom God has given me in this place. And he said, please bring them to me and I will bless them. Now the eyes of Israel were dim with age so that he could not see. And Joseph brought them near and he kissed them and embraced them. And Israel said to Joseph, I had not thought to see your face, but in fact, God has also shown me your offspring. So Joseph brought them from beside his knees and he bowed down with his face to the earth. Joseph took them, both Ephraim, with his right hand towards Israel's left hand, and Manasseh with his left hand towards Israel's right hand, and brought them near him. Then Israel stretched out his right hand and laid it on Ephraim's head, who was the younger, and his left hand on Manasseh's head, guiding his hands knowingly, for Manasseh was the firstborn. And he blessed Joseph and said, God before whom my fathers Abraham and Isaac walked, the God who has fed me all my life long to this day, the angel who has redeemed me from all evil, bless the lads. Let my name be named upon them, in the name of my fathers Abraham and Isaac, and let them grow into a multitude in the midst of the earth. And when Joseph saw that his father laid his right hand on the head of Ephraim, it displeased him. So he took hold of his father's hand to remove it from Ephraim's head to Manasseh's head. Joseph said to his father, not so, my father, for this one is the firstborn. Put your right hand on his head. But his father refused and said, I know, my son. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he. And his descendants shall become a multitude of nations. So he blessed them that day, saying, by you Israel will bless, saying, may God make you as Ephraim and as Manasseh. And thus he set Ephraim before Manasseh. Then Israel said to Joseph, behold, I am dying, but God will be with you and bring you back to the land of your fathers. Moreover, I have given to you one portion above your brothers, which I took from the hand of the Amorite with my sword and bow. So Jacob gives his last words here. He vividly, first of all, remembers his outstanding experience with God at Bethel. The ladder, remember the dream that he had about the ladder connected to heaven and angels coming down and forth, back and forth rather. He then adopts Joseph's sons, says, those are mine. You can have the rest, they'll be yours, but these ones, they are mine. Yet, in a way, adopts them. He then remembers Rachel's death and burial, his favorite wife, the mother to Benjamin and Joseph. And he blesses Joseph's younger more than the older. It actually disturbed Joseph. So Joseph set the boys in front of Jacob, the older with the right hand, the younger, the left. And he does this. He crosses his arms. And Joseph's thinking, no, you put your arms right. He said, no, I know. Now the older inherited more blessings than the younger and more authority. And the younger is going to become greater than the older. This is really God's doing. It wasn't just Jacob arranging that. It was God's purpose. We've seen that happen before between Esau and Jacob. He tells Joseph, you know what? My testimony of one of God's feeding. He said, God is the one who has fed me all this life that I've lived. One Christian said, Jacob's testimony was a testimony of grace, not personal merit. He was not saying how faithful he was to God, but how faithful God was to him. We know Jacob's life, don't we? A schemer, deceiver, trickster, and he looks back at his life and he realizes he is who he was by the grace of God and nothing else. And now he's passing on the blessings of God. What he does here is not just wishing good to his sons, Joseph's sons, his grandsons, was pronouncing God's purpose for them in the life ahead. He gives Joseph two tribes, Ephraim and Manasseh. And right now he actually gives them land. The land that was promised to them was later on to be divided by Joshua, actually, when they crossed into Canaan. But now he pronounces that the first land owners are Joseph's sons. Ephraim and Manasseh, they'll take that land that he conquered from the Amorites. It seems to me that he really is giving Joseph the birthright, the right of inheriting everything that he owned, and the majority of it, obviously. But he still has all the other 11 sons to bless. It is similar to a will. Have you wrote your will if you have a wife and children? At least a wife, right? If I die today, my wife takes everything, kind of a thing. A lot of us don't like thinking about death, by the way. When you talk about death, you're labeled pessimistic, uncultured, it's taboo. But it's a reality and we need to prepare. Jacob here passes it on, his blessings on, when he was really dying. But it's good to do it early. And then in chapter 49, he goes off, starting with Reuben. Jacob called his sons and said, gather together, that I may tell you what shall befall you in the last days. Gather together and hear, you sons of Jacob, and listen to Israel, your father. So the statement is going to pronounce upon every son is not only based on the decisions that they've already made and they'll make in the future, but majorly the call and the fulfillment of God's promises to them and through them. I suppose this must have been a very nervous environment. All probably the wives, apart from Rachel who had passed. The children, maybe some grandchildren apart from Joseph's sons, gathered together listening to this old man say his last words. The other cause of nervousness obviously would have been hearing in everybody's presence what is said of you. So everybody's going to listen to what is going to happen to Reuben and Judah and Simeon and Levi and everybody else. Well, none of them actually knows who is going to be the heir to all the inheritance. So maybe they are thinking, it could be me, it could be me. It could be Reuben, it could be Joseph, it could be Benjamin. So it starts off, Reuben, his firstborn. You are my firstborn, my might, and the beginning of my strength, the excellency of dignity, and the excellency of power. That is a good part. Reuben must have been smiling like, yeah. Then he hears the second part. Unstable as water, you shall not excel. Oh. Because you went up to your father's bed, then you defiled it. He went up to my couch. So Reuben should have been the one to inherit majority of his father's property and the spiritual inheritance of being the birthline of the Messiah, but he disqualified himself through sexual immorality. He went to bed with his father's concubine Bilhah in Genesis 35:22. So he disqualified himself to be number one. What do you think the other sons were thinking? That's all Reuben gets? He will not excel? I mean, think about it. How many of us fathers would say that if you knew your son was not going to excel in this life? And God tells you to tell them. Would you be faithful to pass on that message? That, sorry, my son, you will not excel. You're going to be a tail, not a head. Not very pleasant words, but this is God's purpose, remember? This is not just a curse upon Reuben. Simeon and Levi, brothers, they're banded together in this blessing. Instruments of cruelty in their dwelling place. Let not my soul enter their council. Let not my honor be united to their assembly. For in their anger they slew a man, and in their self-will they hamstrung an ox. Cursed be their anger, for it's fierce, and their wrath, for it's cruel. I will divide them in Jacob and scatter them in Israel. Kind of a fair deal. They get reprimanded for their anger. Remember when they murdered a whole community of the Shechemites, having defiled or raped their sister? They deceived and they came upon them while they were incapacitated. And they have a price to pay for that. Their anger, their self-will, their deception haunts them. Now you realize with Reuben, Simeon, and Levi, what is pronounced upon them partly is based on the mistakes they have made in the past. It's interesting and true that sin bears consequences. And some consequences are lifelong. God is not going to allow Reuben to excel. Levi and Simeon did not get much because of their anger. Anybody angry? Be careful. The Levites are going to be the priestly clan. Moses, Aaron, and all the priests. Not so much is going to come out of Simeon throughout the history of Israel. Very little is mentioned when we study through the Kings, the Judges, the Chronicles. What do you think Judah is thinking? Reuben doesn't get so much. Simeon and Levi are actually reprimanded for their anger. Judah must have been nervous. He's thinking, boy, I am as good as them. Well, as bad as them. I have messed up too. Judah, you are he whom your brothers shall praise. Your hand shall be on the neck of your enemies. Your father's children shall bow down before you. Judah is a lion's whelp. From the prey, my son, you have gone up. He bows down, lies down as a lion. And as a lion, who shall arouse him? The scepter shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet, until Shiloh comes. And to him shall be the obedience of the people, binding his donkey to the vine, and his donkey's colt to the choice vine. He washed his garments in wine, and his clothes in the blood of grapes. His eyes are darker than wine, his teeth whiter than milk. Judah and Joseph get the longest of a blessing. So Judah is going to be praised. He's going to be on his enemy's neck. He's going to take his enemies by their collars. His father's children are going to bow down to him. He's going to be honored and worshipped. He's a lion. He lies down in peace, but he's a warrior. He's a leader. The scepter, the symbol of leadership and authority, shall not depart from Judah, nor a lawgiver from between his feet. Until Shiloh comes, he's going to command obedience. He's going to thrash choice vine. His garments are going to be dipped in wine, blood of grapes, dark eyes and white teeth. You know that Judah is going to be the kingly clan. All kings are going to flow through the line of Judah, David and Solomon and all the kings of Israel. Judah is going to be praised since it's going to be the birth line of the Messiah. These are really pronouncements of what the Messiah was going to do. He's going to be praised. He's going to be worshipped. He is a lion. In Revelation 5, verse 5, he is the lion of the tribe of Judah. He is a lawgiver. He's a leader. Until Shiloh comes, that word Shiloh may indicate either his first or second coming, but it ultimately indicates the rule and reign of Jesus. Through Judah, God was going to supply leaders until Jesus himself rules and reigns forever and ever. In another place in Revelation, he's talked of as a judge. And he goes and literally stamps his enemies. He crushes them by his feet. And he walks out of the judgment. And his robe, his white robe, is stained with blood. The blood of his enemies. At the end of that, Judah must have been smiling like, "Whew, I got the best deal." He's rejoicing in his heart. Then comes, he obviously doesn't go in their birth order. He goes to Zebulun. Zebulun shall be the haven of the sea. He shall become a haven for ships. And his border shall adjoin Sidon. So for Zebulun, it's interesting. What is mentioned here is basically his land. His land is going to be along the Mediterranean Sea. He's going to be really a haven of ships. You know, there's going to be business going to and fro, Europe and the Middle East there in Israel. We also find out in 1 Chronicles chapter 12, verse 33, that the clan of Zebulun supplied David 50,000 soldiers. The majority of the soldiers in David's army was from this tribe, and they were faithful and loyal, not only to their country, but to King David. And comes Issachar. It's a strong donkey lying down between two burdens. He saw that the rest was good and that the land was pleasant. He bowed his shoulder to bear a burden and became a band of slaves. Whoa! How would you like that? All you're going to do is become a slave. In a way, Issachar, strong with so much potential, but also lazy, so he was enslaved. The clan of Issachar was going to be enslaved. We find that in Numbers 26. They also actually supplied some warriors to the Israeli army. Then he comes to Dan. Dan shall judge his people. He's a judge. It's one of the tribes of Israel. Dan shall be a serpent by the way, a viper by the path that bites the horse's heels, so that its rider shall fall backward. I have waited for your salvation, O Lord. From the tribe or the clan of Dan comes some prominent judges. Samson was one of them. The other Danites did not leave a very good legacy in Israel. They actually introduced idol worship. Jeroboam was one of them. In Judges 18, in Kings 12, they were the idol worshippers. They would make idols of gold and silver and stones and wood for the rest of the tribes to worship. So you can imagine a judge leading people to worship an idol. Then Gad, only a lion. Gad, a troop shall tramp upon him, but he shall triumph at last. Gad was going to be a warrior clan. They also served and supplied Israel with lots of troops in 1 Chronicles chapter 12. Then Asher, bread from Asher shall be rich and he shall yield rare dainties. I'm told the clan of Asher were the ones who baked the best bread in Israel. They were cooks. They made the best food for the Israelites. And Naphtali, a deer let loose, he uses beautiful words. Very brief of a prophecy upon Naphtali. His land is going to be around the Sea of Galilee, and this is where Jesus did most of his earthly ministry. And that is probably why he flows with beautiful words. The words of the Messiah are going to come out of the land that was given to Zebulun and Naphtali, by the way. And then Joseph, he's a fruitful bough with a well. His branches run over the wall. The archers have bitterly grieved him, shot at him and hated him, but his bow remained in strength, and the arms of his hands were made strong by the hands of the Almighty God of Jacob. For there is the shepherd, the stone of Israel, by the God of your father who will help you, and by the Almighty who will bless you with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lies beneath, blessings of the breast and blessing of the womb, having children, the blessings of your father have excelled the blessings of my ancestors up to the utmost bound of the everlasting hills. They shall be on the head of Joseph and of the crown of the head of him who was separate from his brothers. His blessings are based on the circumstances around him. He was grieved and hated and shot at, almost killed, but it turns out, with the help of God, with the hand of the Almighty God, Jacob says here, he has been the most fruitful. I mean, think about the last being first here. He is way, way down the line, but he is the most fruitful. He's the one who saved his entire family. Through him, his entire family has a lot of land in Egypt. Through him, the whole world gets food supplies, grain. And much as the odds were against him, he excels and is the most blessed, really. He's excellent. The crown of the head of him who is separate from his brothers. He's really crowned. Maybe all the others were expecting that honor, but only Joseph gets it. And we've seen how God turns everything around. Would assume, oh God, why would you allow Joseph to go through very unfair circumstances? Why would he have to be sold off to slavery and work as a slave and go to prison? But we know what God was doing. He had a plan to save not only Joseph's family, but the entire world. And then Benjamin, a ravenous wolf, in the morning he shall devour the prey, and at night he shall divide the spoil. So Benjamin is going to be almost in fierceness and cruelty compared to a wolf, a ravenous wolf, devouring and tearing flesh. And from the tribe or the clan of Benjamin comes some of the most prominent figures in the Bible. Ehud and Judges, King Saul, the very first king of Israel, was from Benjamin. And guess who? There's another Saul later on in the Acts. Saul of Tarsus, who became the Apostle Paul. Very, very cruel, very destructive. But God had a plan for them. In some place, Benjamin, I think I referred to this last week, protected an evildoer. And they were so stubborn that all the other tribes came against them, killed all the men just to get the right person. But they didn't. I mean, very stubborn people. Any Benjamites in here? Anybody called Benjamin? If you notice somebody very stubborn, somebody has to break their neck to get the right direction. It's called Benjamin. And all the 12 tribes of Israel, 12 sons blessed, this is what their father spoke to them. And he blessed them. He blessed each one according to his own blessing. And he charged them and said to them, I am to be gathered to my people. Bury me with my fathers in the cave that is in the field of Ephron the Hittite, in the cave that is in the field of Machpelah, which is before Mamre in the land of Canaan, which Abraham bought with the field of Ephron the Hittite as a possession for the burial place. There they buried Abraham and Sarah his wife. There they buried Isaac and Rebekah his wife. And there I buried Leah. The field and the cave that is there were purchased from the sons of Heth. And when Jacob had finished commanding his sons, he drew his feet up into the bed and breathed his last, and he was gathered to his people. So the key verse there is 28, and he blessed them, each according to his own blessing. Now we've seen, like I said earlier, some blessings based on the decisions that made earlier. Some are pronounced primarily declaring what God was going to do through them. Would you like God to unveil everything before you concerning your life ahead? Are you one of those people who thinks, God, just show me everything ahead? Or would you rather have him unveil one by one as the days unfold? One by one? What if he says, I'm going to show everything ahead of you? Whatever it is. A lot of fortune tellers claim to give you what lies ahead, or they obviously fall short. But what we see here is each one of them blessed according to God's will and according to God's purposes. Some obviously according to their mistakes and their performances. But they're equally blessed. They're going to be a nation through whom the Messiah comes. They're going to be a nation through whom Jesus comes, so that all of us would be saved. Now, if you're in that room, let's for a minute think of ourselves in the very room. We would be tempted to think the other person got a better deal than me. Everybody or Judah praising him? How about the guys who are going to be scattered, Simeon and Levi? How about being a ravenous wolf for a lion, Judah? We'd be thinking, the other guy is better, the other guy is more blessed. We'd be tempted to compare ourselves. Who has the best? Who is the best? Who is going to do the best? Who is going to be the most achiever? But as we are tempted to do that, let's know for sure that God has marked out a path for each one of us. It is unique, and it is equally blessed like everybody else. So we should not think, the other person is more blessed than the other one. Everybody cannot be a lion, and not everyone can be a ravenous wolf. Not everyone is going to be scattered, and God is going to work differently through them, and so does God work through us. He works through each one of us uniquely. And as we feel bad for some and feel good for some, or if we feel good for ourselves and feel bad for other people, let's remember that it depends on what God wanted to do. And regardless of their unfaithfulness, regardless of their performance, God's will was going to be done. A Messiah was coming above all else. Well, they have the land. They are the most blessed because through them the Messiah came. The Messiah did not come through the Ugandans or through the what? Through the Americans or through the Chinese. It's through that people group called the Israelites, the Jews. And for us, we are beneficiaries of these blessings passed on to them. Each one of us. Imagine how God works through with these stubborn people. We see their history, not a very good history. And he breaks them and disciplines them and blesses them until Jesus comes to look for you and me. Have you ever thought about that? That through the centuries, God works with his group until Jesus is born through Mary and dies on the cross just for you and me. So we can say, we're all blessed, aren't we? Aren't we blessed? We are. Let's look at a few ways that we are blessed. In Psalm 1:1, blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. Blessed are we when we follow God's instructions. Each time you take one step in God's direction, what does the Bible say you are? Blessed. In Psalm 84, verse 4, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They will still be praising you. Blessed are those who come to church. You're blessed right here. So tell everybody else who's not blessed to come and be blessed, right? Blessed are those who would go to the temple to offer sacrifices and worship God. And take note, blessing here means fulfilling God's purposes. Right? It's not just stuff. Right? They have the land. The land wasn't necessarily a blessing, was it? It is the fulfillment of God's purposes. So when we say we are blessed, we're basically saying we are fulfilling God's purposes. We are honoring God. In Psalm 106, verse 3, blessed are those who keep justice, and he who does righteousness at all times. God has given us his righteousness at all times, and we walk through his righteousness, so we are blessed. In Psalm 119, verse 2, blessed are those who keep his testimonies who seek Him with the whole heart. How many of us seek Him with the whole heart? You sit down there, you walk, you're scratching your head. I want to please God. I want to keep His word and His commandments and instructions. I want to fulfill His will for me. The Bible calls you blessed. In Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 17, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord and whose hope is in the Lord. Blessed are we just trusting the Lord, just saying, God, I do not know what lies tomorrow, but I know You are in control. Lord, I have reason to just run out of hope. This world is just collapsing, but You are a hope. The Bible calls us blessed. Those of us who continuously hope in the Lord and wait for Him. In James chapter 1, verse 12, blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which the Lord has promised to those who love Him. When we resist and run away from temptation, the Bible says we are what? Blessed. We are fulfilling God's will and purposes. I told the other service that I wanted to give them homework so they would read Matthew chapter 5 in the very words of Jesus. But there's no homework, so let's turn to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5, from verse 3, Jesus himself, defines those who are blessed, and describes them. In Matthew 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are we when we hunger for the Spirit of God. When we are thirsty, we say, God, we don't have anything in ourselves. Please fill us. In verse 4, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Anybody mourning here or grieving in pain, God will comfort you. You're blessed. In verse 5, blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Those who have their power in control. There are those who are very strong and they misuse their energy, like the Benjamites. But there are those who are strong, but their energy is under control, under the control of God. The Bible says you are blessed. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Any of us hungry and thirsty for righteousness, God will say, here, have. Drink as much as you want. You're blessed. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Are you persecuted because of your righteousness? God says you are blessed because you don't belong to this kingdom. You belong to another kingdom. So there's no way you should be comfortable in this kingdom. Verse 11, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So are we blessed or what? In Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3, I like this. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. Amen? We don't lack. God supplies the abundance of the flow of His Spirit and His heavenly blessings to each one of us in abundance. All of it. He says, you want it, you want spiritual things, you can enjoy everything. And then we're like, okay, God, we have the spiritual, please give us the physical too, right? Please, God, bless me with, and we have all this list. But in the eyes of God, regardless of whether or not we get those things, we are blessed. We are fulfilling His purposes, aren't we? We are following Him. We are honoring Him. And that is what He is most interested in. In fact, God would instruct Moses to give the people what was called the high priestly blessing. It's Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 to 26. And was supposed to bless the people, to pronounce a blessing, a fulfillment of God's purposes upon them. And was supposed to say these words, Numbers 6, 24 to 26. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance or his face upon you and give you peace. Amen. 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 We're going to partake of communion as we begin the month and as we look at what we've just learned here, the faithfulness of God, the blessings of God. And in Ephesians, we just read, we have been given every spiritual blessing through who? Through the blood and the broken body of Jesus Christ. And as he was on the cross and as his blood was being shed, all the blessings of heaven was flowing into you and I. Salvation and redemption and joy and peace, goodness and mercy and kindness and compassion and everything in heaven was coming down to each one of us. Lord, thank you so much for blessing us abundantly, O God. Thank you so much for choosing us to be vessels through whom you touch many people, multitudes, O God. Lord, as you chose Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and the entirety of the family, Lord, you've chosen us. You've redeemed us. You've marked a path and a race for us to follow. And it's one of giving our lives and allowing the flow of your life into others, O God. I pray that knowing that we are blessed, may we be a blessing to this nation and many nations, O God. May we be a blessing to this city and to the whole world. In Jesus' name I pray.
Let us be seated as the ushers hand out the